Hey, you guys. It's Sunday. Kind of a rainy Sunday here in Central Florida. A little bit rainy, kind of cloudy.
Yeah, we're going to do a movie that Sophie sent me a long time ago. We never got around to seeing it, called Sexy Beast.
Yeah. I had seen it before. I actually think I saw this in the theater back in 2000, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But you had never seen it
before. No, I'd never seen it. Before we start the show, went down, it was at the fucking biker bar over at the Oasis. I was only there for 2 hours. And when I showed up, got a damn tequila, and little Amy goes, hey, Tom, you know that crackhead girl? I was like, yeah. And she goes, dead. I said, no way. She goes, remember the one I said, the crackhead girl, the one I took a video of?
The one that you took a video of?
Yeah, she's dead.
Holy she's shit. Dead.
Yeah, I was saying, like, look, somebody's going to pick her up and kill her. You guys got to fucking get her some help somewhere. I was thinking that it was going to be some kind of serial killer or something pick her up, because she'd get in the car with anybody.
Yeah.
I got a motorcycle, picked her up and killed her. Fucking wiped that damn motorcycle out. The dude, the rider's in fucking, like, critical condition. She's dead. She's dead on impact.
That's horrible.
They were fucking tripping balls high. He was on a sport bike.
Yeah. Don't do drugs and ride motorcycles, you guys. Yeah, I mean, don't do drugs and drive cars, either. But, you know.
They're tripping balls on fucking methamphetamine riding sport bikes.
That's horrible.
I wouldn't let that girl on the back of my bike. She doesn't shower. But I guess if you're into that math, you don't care.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a bummer, isn't it?
Yeah, every time I see her, she hadn't showered in like 4 or 5 days. She was funny, though.
She had other priorities,
yeah, I guess. She was funny. Always fucking... Only saw her once where she made any sense. She was mostly nonsensical. You know? Sounds like...
That's just crazy to me that you just, like, fucking... That you just started talking about her a couple weeks ago and then, like, showed me that video of her and now she's fucking dead.
Amy was like, how'd you know she was gonna die? And I said, I just had a feeling she was gonna die. She goes, that's weird.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. I didn't give her any more background than that. I knew she was gonna die. And it's like, I do.
Yeah.
I said it on the show. I said, that girl's gonna die.
Yeah.
She's dead.
She had like a... You died saw yesterday. That like a black cloud over there.
Died something. Yesterday. Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Well, what was she gonna do?
Yeah.
It wasn't gonna turn out...
I mean, she was young though, right?
Yeah, 22. 22, 23. 24, I think. I think she said she was 24.
Man, that's
awful.
Was
that right? It was 24, I think it was.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Murder Hornet says, am I the only one talking? I see nobody else's chats. Yeah, I don't see anybody else's chats either.
Yeah, you're the only one talking.
Is anybody else in here?
There's 7 in there.
Oh, okay. So just everybody's being quiet, like just waiting for us to probably start talking about the movie.
Right. Actually. Okay, so Sexy Beast, British gangster movie. About some British gangsters. This one guy, he's kind of semi-retired. He's living in Spain. And the group that he works for fucking tries to call him out of retirement. And they use this dude, he's fucking nuts of a fucking dude, played by Ben Kingsley. And he's just fucking a psycho and totally out of his fucking mind. It is funny. It's a funny fucking show.
It is. It's a funny movie. Yeah,
it's kind of like, but it's funny in a way a gangster movie would be funny. You know, it's kind of like... fucking Goodfellas or fucking, you know, Casino or something like that.
Yeah, it's like a dark comedy, honestly. Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, if you liked a lot of the kind of British crime dramas, like, you know, The Limey or Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels or Snatch or The Long Good Friday, which I kind of feel like was good but wasn't quite as funny as this, then, and if you haven't seen this one, because here's the weird thing. I'm pretty sure I saw this movie when it came out because I really like British movies and I really like British crime movies. And I really like Ray Winstone, so I went to see this in the theater, I think. And Ben Kingsley actually got nominated for an Oscar for Best Supporting Act. He didn't win, but he got nominated. So I kind of feel like, you know, there was kind of a moment where everybody was talking about this movie and talking about his performance in it because he's amazing and he was, like, really playing against type.
Yeah.
But then after that, I kind of feel like... I don't know. I kind of feel like when people are talking about British crime dramas, they bring up, you know, like Snatch or something like that, but they don't really bring this one up as much, even though this one is like every bit as good. The thing about this one that's really interesting is that even though, yes, it's technically a British gangster movie, I kind of like that they sort of subvert your expectations. It's not really... There is the trope in it of, you know, coming out of retirement for one last job. But the actual heist, which is like a bank job, is like an afterthought. Yeah, it's not easy. Really... Yeah, it's not really even about that.
Yeah.
The whole focus of it is basically on Ben Kingsley's character, whose name is Don Logan, trying to get Ray Winstone's character, Gal... to come back into the thing and, like, all the fucking psychological manipulation and crazy shit that he does
to get him
to come back.
Yeah, and he's crazy, too. He's not some criminal mastermind. He's fucking crazy.
I think that's kind of what... Because prior to this, I don't really know... Because Ben Kingsley, I mean, up to this point, yeah, he played Gandhi and stuff like that, but he's kind of known for playing more kind of, like, soft-spoken kind of roles, things like that. And I think this is the first time that he had played something like this, like a villain like this.
Ben Kingsley will be in a good classy flick, or he'll be in a piece of shit like Blood Rain. He was in Blood Rain, one of the worst movies of all times.
What's that fucker's name? That director.
Yeah,
that
the German guy. Director. Yeah, the German director.
How do you pronounce his name? Uwe Boll?
Yeah.
The one that if you don't like his movies, he wants to like challenge you to a boxing match?
Yeah. But it had that Russian girl that played the vampire. She was the one that played fucking from Fifth Element.
Yeah.
She was in it.
And that had
Ben Kingsley in it, and that bitch was a fucking stinker.
I don't think I ever saw that movie. I just heard how bad it was.
I saw fucking 10 minutes of it. It was so watchable. I said, no, I ain't watching this. It was just immediately unwatchable.
But yeah, so, all right. So what happens in this movie? Like I said, you have Ray Winstone. He was some kind of, you know, I'm led to assume they did like bank jobs and things like that. So, you know, he's a British gangster, but he's retired now. He lives in Spain in this really, really nice
villa.
Yeah. With his wife, Dee Dee, who he seems to love very much, genuinely. She is a retired porn star. And they live there, and then they also have these two, like, another couple that are, like, their best friends, H and Jackie. And they have also kind of, like, retired for the thing. So they're, like, very happy. They lay by the pool and, you know, just hang out. And they just don't want to, like, have anything to do with the British crime scene anymore. They're out of it. So, when it turns out, the coolest thing, I think, about Ben Kingsley's character in this is that even before he shows up on screen, you can't wait to see, like, what this dude is going to do. Because as soon as Jackie says, they all go out to dinner one night, and Jackie says, I got a phone call, and he says, it's from Don. And everybody, you can see everyone's butt pucker, you know what I mean? And just kind of like, and so you immediately know that this is... a dude that is, like, terrifying. They're all, like, terrified of him, clearly. And you don't know why that is. You don't know, like, what his deal is. But, yeah, everybody just sits there and their anus clenches, like, oh, shit. Because they know very much that it's, like, if Don wants you to do something, there's no way that you're going to be able to say no to him because he is a fucking lunatic.
Yeah. He's not a physically intimidating guy in any way. He's pretty skinny.
And they wanted somebody like that. I think they asked Gary Oldman first, but they said, we want somebody that's not a big dude. We want somebody that's smaller, but can play
crazy.
Yeah. And I definitely think, I mean, Ben Kingsley in this is terrifying. Yeah. He's just like a terrifying. I think he's terrifying because...
just unpredictable.
You have no idea... And the thing about it is that you can tell that he's clearly a lunatic, but there's also, like, a weird intelligence behind it. Like, he knows when not to act like a lunatic. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can act, not normal, but he can act in a way that kind of just gets him what he wants and shit like that. But then, so he's not, like, total complete psycho that can't control himself. He's very, very controlled, but he knows when to... release the crazy, like, to get people to, like, to do what he wants. But you never know exactly what he's going to do. He's, like, super unpredictable.
Maybe that's what it is. It's hard to tell if he's unleashing it or if he's holding it back.
It could be either thing.
Yeah.
But that, well, yeah, there's,
it
like,
seems
that...
like he holds it back a lot of the times, but then he can't. And it just...
Because there's...
Like it's like he's crazy, but he's pretending to be sane.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely think that's the case.
And that... And that the sanity kind of falls away and he fucking acts like a maniac. He's the kind of dude that's fucking says, I'll fucking kill you. You know, he's making all these threats and just out of the blue, you know, I've always loved you in the middle of all this. It's like something from fucking, you know, the fucking dude from fucking, what was that David Lynch movie with the guy fucking breathing the damn gas?
Oh, yeah. It's like that. Like Dennis Hopper's character.
Yeah, Dennis
Frank Hopper's. Booth.
Yeah, yeah, it's like that. What was the name of that movie?
Blue Velvet.
Yeah, he's kind of like that kind of a dude.
But not quite as... he's a lot more controlled.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Booth was just like a fucking loon. But...
Well, this guy's a lunatic, too. It's just, yeah. It's not sexual. Well, kind of is.
Kinda. Yeah, and interestingly, I was reading something about this movie where Ray Winstone, the guy that plays Gal, he said he almost sees this more of like a love story than he does like a gangster movie, which I can totally see that. Because it's more, it's really, really focused on, I mean, there's a lot of other characters and there's a lot of other stuff going on, but the kind of heart of the movie, the focus of the movie is on this sort of like psychological battle of wills, I guess, like between these two guys. Because Gal really, really does not want to go and do this job anymore. He's retired. He's happy where he is. You know, he's just laying around getting fat in Spain, like having good food, laying around drinking.
They make fun of him for getting fat
with his wife and stuff. Yeah. And then him talking about how his like fucking skin looks like he looks like a leather bag or something.
Yeah,
like that.
The dude fucking he kept amping up all the insults, and then he started to insult his girlfriend, insult everybody else's wives. And just, you know, like, yeah, I fucked her. And he did fuck her. You know? And then he'd come back, you know, and then he'd say fucking, and then he was bagging on his wife for being an ex-porn star, and that he'd seen all her videos and everything that she did in those videos. And just, he was fucking brutal.
He was.
Shit that would not fly in an American fucking organized crime scene. If you did that to fucking... in the Italian, old school Italian scene, they'd kill you. Fucking, it wouldn't matter.
I mean, that's kind of how it goes in this one, too.
Yeah, it gets that way anyway, but it would be a lot more instant. You couldn't do that in the biker world. They wouldn't care what your rank you were or whatever, they'd kill you.
I mean, the thing about, like I said, everyone is kind of... I just really like all the scenes where... because he pretty much, like, he flies there... you know, because he calls first and says, hey, I want Gal for this job. And Gal's like, I don't really want to do it. And he's, you know, and he's like, oh, and I have to tell him that I don't want to do it. And I don't think that's going to work out too well. But he just, like, basically shows up in Spain and essentially is like, hey, I'm going to stay at your house. Is that all right? You know what I mean? Of course it has to be. But it's like everybody hates him, like I said. And it's just kind of like everybody... no one can say anything around him because everybody's afraid that he's gonna go off because they never know how he's gonna react to shit.
Yeah, but it turns out there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah,
there's guys above him, and they're trying to get this fucking. They're trying to get into this fucking safe deposit boxes, and the main boss that found out about the safe deposit box met the guy that managed the bank.
The bank manager, yeah.
Met the bank manager. They met him. He met him at an orgy, a high-class orgy and shit. And it's inferred from what they showed that the gangster dude gave up some ass to that dude.
Ian McShane.
Right.
Is the gangster. Teddy Bass is his name.
Yeah, gave up some ass to that dude in order to get access
to the vault.
So he would know, I guess, how to steal from there?
Yeah, he was trying to case it.
Yeah, just case it out.
So the fact that he met this bank manager at this orgy.
Right.
And then, like, this high-up criminal.
Yeah.
And Ian McShane's pretty scary in this, too.
Yeah.
And is basically like, yeah, I'll let this dude fuck me in the ass.
Yeah, and you see the scene of this fucking gangster's face when this other dude's fucking diving off into him. He's going, Dude.
And he's just, like, letting him do it, like, to get the information.
To get the information for the fucking money.
Yeah.
And then, like, man, there's no money. That motherfucker, there's no money worth that. I don't know what that dude went through. But then, like, just safe deposit boxes. So he goes through that, and then they get the shit. And at the end, it's pretty good. They track that manager down because... the gangster convinced that bank manager, I guess, that they were friends. He goes over to his house 5 o'clock in the morning. They knock his ass off.
Yeah.
And just fucking shoot him.
Just in total cold blood.
Yeah, to just silence everybody. But, yeah, it's a pretty good movie. Bunch of shit happens in it. don't want to spoil it all. It's not that.
Yeah, I don't really want to spoil the end, but yeah. I will say one of the things I love about this, and this is actually, I think like the honestly, the screenplay for this is like really, really well written. It's very, and there's surprisingly little improvisation, which will probably be very shocking when you watch it because it seems like a lot of it's improvised, but I don't think it is. And it's actually like pretty short. It's yeah. less than 90 minutes.
Yeah, the movie kind of reminded me of a cross between like Bronson and The Big Lebowski. It's kind of like The Big Lebowski was kind of meandering in a way.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like that. Imagine Big Lebowski is a fucking gangster movie.
This is kind of, I don't know if I'd say, well, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, yeah. kind of like meandering. But then yeah. there's kind of like this tension the whole time. Because,
yeah,
like
yeah.
I said, you're not, because Ben Kingsley is you're just right. like this little dude who's clearly like a psycho, who's like a crazy yeah. person. And you never really know what he's going to do in any situation.
Yeah, but the tone of the movie is kind of friendly in a weird way. It's like, the tone is kind of like a fun movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a comedy, but it's a black comedy.
It's a crime comedy.
So yeah. it's kind of like it's not a zany comedy, but it's that very droll, like, British
yeah.
kind of comedy. Well, and honestly,
These guys are ridiculous. These
yeah.
gangsters are ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right? They say shit that's just totally inappropriate. And I had to have the subtitles on. I couldn't understand everything that they were saying.
Well, it's like super cockney.
Yeah, I couldn't understand everything.
So, I mean, so that's what's kind of fun. I mean, I was trying to think of, like, some of the funny shit that Ben Kingsley says. It's one of the things that made me laugh out loud, because I had seen this before, but I hadn't seen it for a really long time. One of the things he says, they're all sitting around in Gal and his wife Dee Dee's living room, and they're all, like, just sitting there drinking, like I said, with their butts clenched, because everyone's afraid to say anything. And then finally, like, Ben Kingsley says something to Dee Dee. He says something like, "You have beautiful eyes I never noticed before. They real."
Yeah, yeah.
Are they real? Her eyes. Yeah. So it's just like, he just says, like, the funniest fucking shit, like, all the time. It's just, it's hysterical. He's a hysterical, hysterical character. And it's just, I love all the interaction. Because one of the things I really like about the British crime thriller, and about British movies in general, is that nobody swears like the British. Their swearing is like an art form. You know what I'm saying? And it's just the shit they come up with is just fucking hysterical to me. I saw like a review of this earlier, like on YouTube, and somebody commented something really funny at the bottom. They said, you know, like in my entire life, or maybe this was on AV Club, I think in my entire life I've only heard the word cunt in real life like 3 or 4 times until I saw this movie. I mean, like, pretty much every other word is like fuck or cunt. Because that's, you know what I mean? Because the yeah. UK, it's a much worse word in the United States, I feel like. And it's usually more of like a gendered term, like you would call it to a woman. Whereas in the UK, it's still like offense. Yeah. It's still a swear word, but they usually use it to like talk to another dude.
Yeah. Just like calling a dude a pussy.
Yeah, and it's like, I kind of feel like they don't usually direct it at women. They probably do, but I kind of feel like if they're going to direct something at women, some kind of slur term, it's usually something like slag or bent or something like that. Whereas, like, if they say cunt, they usually say it to another dude. Yeah. They might direct it at women, too. I'm not sure. But they use it a lot more frequently than an American one.
Just think, when I was in Korea, there's no swearing in the Korean language. Evidently, there's no swearing in Japanese either. They don't have a very good grasp of it. And I can't imagine it.
God, if I couldn't swear, I don't think I'd be able to talk.
No, there's just no swearing in it.
But I mean, I wouldn't be able to talk ever.
It's not in the Japanese or the Korean language, so none of that shit. So I could imagine they can't even think that way. We had to train them to swear when they were in our unit. You know what I mean? They just...
Well, you know,
then you try to explain to them what that swear meant, and they were like, "Well, is that bad?" "Yes, that's bad." "Yes, that bad. That's bad." What he just said. He said that your mother gives the ass up to this dude and that dude, a whole busload of dudes, and you're one of the products. That's a bad swear. "Oh, that's bad." "Yeah, that's bad."
Wait, baby. To them, it's not bad. They're like, "And so?" "My mom's popular. What's wrong with that?"
Yeah, they don't. They're just, you guys, I'm not making that up. You guys can research it. There's no concept of swearing. They're so polite they can't swear. There's whole reaction videos of people talking to Japanese and Korean people given them American and British swears, and then they ask them what they think it means. And it's just the most fucking atrocious swearing ever. And they don't understand what it means, even when they try to decipher it. And then when it's explained to them, they're like, oh, is that bad? Yes. The motherfucker is bad. That means you fuck your own mom. Yeah.
What about fucking cockwomble?
Yeah, yeah. They just it's not in their culture. So, you know, fucking in the army was fucking filthy. So, you know, we'd have all our Katusas out there. Yo, motherfuckers, look like a goddamn just fucking all kinds of stuff. And they'd be like, what the hell's going on? They wouldn't understand it. You know what I mean? And then you try to explain it to a Katusa, you know? You just said, he said you were homosexual. I'm not homosexual. He said you are. You are now. He's made you the homosexual. What? Just, you know.
Well, it's like they're just sitting there going, well, why does it matter if he thinks that?
Yeah,
maybe
right.
That's where they're coming. They're just like, so. They're like, I don't care if he thinks that. I'm not.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Which, in a way, is kind of like a good attitude to have, I guess, because they don't get offended. But.
They don't grow up in school. They don't grow up in school swearing at each other.
I'm honestly, from a linguistic standpoint, I'm actually fascinated with swearing. And honestly, because swearing... I'm not sure if this is still, like, I'm not, like, a linguistics professor, obviously, but swearing comes from a slightly different part of your brain than your regular language does, because it usually is, you know, there's usually, like, a lot more emotion behind it, and studies have also shown that people who swear when they, you know, get hurt, they don't feel pain as much. Because it sort of, like, lets off some steam. And also people that swear more tend to be more intelligent also. And many, many studies have shown that. But honestly, like I said, I love compound swears. So I think that's kind of why I like a lot of the British swearing. Because they have all kind of, like, crazy-ass, like, compound swear words. Like I said, like, cockwomble and stuff like that. Which I think are, like, really, really funny. And there's, like, just all... I don't know. There's who is the guy that played? I think he played Doctor Who for Peter Capaldi, and he wasn't he on that TV show? And he was kind of like in the UK, and I can't remember what it was, but he was kind of known for these like ridiculously constructed like swears that were like really creative and stuff. And I used to have like all these kind of like memes that had spelled some of them out. Some of them were, like fucking hilarious, but. Yeah, this movie. If you're offended by the words fuck or cunt, pretty much every third word is one of those two words.
This is reminding me, Corporal Sung. He could swear. He had been in the U.S. Army as a Katusa for fucking 2 years. He could swear, and he would say some cool shit. Because you have to make up your own.
Well, yeah, that's what I like about it. When people that can make up their own like creative swears.
And he would like sit back. And smoke a cigarette like that, you know, in his fucking uniform and come up with a fucking way of insulting you, you know, and he'd insult American soldiers. And it was fucking artistic, pretty good. But he was like a Korean phenom. He was unusual. The other Koreans didn't do that. But he understood the gang. What happened to Song? They're all named Song, Park, or Kwak.
You should look up.
They're all named Song, Park, or Kwak, all of them.
Yeah, I thought Park was, like, the most common. Park. Isn't that the most common
name? Song, Park, and Kwak.
Name?
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
The last names.
Those yeah, that's, what I'm, that's na- what I'm saying.
But, they, you know, that
it's
was...
like the Smith of Korea.
Yeah, right, yeah. So you can't find them.
Yeah. No. But I was just when you were talking about the scene with Ian McShane in this movie before, I was thinking of that scene with Ben Kingsley and Ray Winstone in the bar where he was like where Ben Kingsley like talking about something else and then all of a sudden talking about Jackie that other guy's wife. It says, "Yeah, I fucked her," and then something like how they were fucking and like then suddenly like. She stuck her finger up his ass.
Yeah.
And it's like
we're trying to.
The way he talked about it was so funny. And it was so random and then like he just goes and starts talking about it.
She tried to stick her finger up my ass. What kind of woman does that?
This movie just fucking it cracks me up so much. And I was
then
gonna
later he goes, "I love her."
Yeah. And then, because they're trying to, like, imply that maybe he came there not just for, like, to get Gal. He wanted to, like, see her, even though she was clearly, like, also terrified of him.
She hated him.
And hated him. Yeah. And was... So you're kind of led to believe that maybe... Was it consensual?
No, it was rape.
If she... Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like...
Probably, you know. Right.
I mean, maybe she stuck her finger up his butt, like, to get him to stop or something like that. I'm not really sure.
It was a long time ago.
Or he could be making it up. I'm not really sure.
It was also something that happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
When they were younger, so.
One thing that that I had forgotten about, but then, like, when I watched the movie, like, one of the first scenes, you know, very famously the first scene is, like, Ray Winston, like, laying there by the pool, and he's, like, you know, cooking, like, getting sunburned or whatever. And then, like, during this one scene, a boulder suddenly, like, comes down the mountain and, like, lands in his pool and, like, breaks the tile at the bottom of the pool. And the significance of that scene, which actually ties into the plot, like, later on at the end, the significance of that scene is, like, that's a harbinger, because it's almost like Ben Kingsley's character is like that boulder, like, kind of coming down toward him, and you don't know, like, it's totally unpredictable. Yeah. So I thought that was, like, a really nice little thematic kind of thing. I'm a writer, so I like that kind of stuff, but yeah.
But yeah, I approved of the movie. I enjoyed it, and I want to thank Sophie for sending it to us. She sent me a used DVD copy that came from the fucking one of the county libraries. It said county library on it.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I got your shit, bitch. One of these county libraries went under, and I got their fucking video.
That's a good thing to do, because you can go there, and it's like, sometimes, like I said, if the library is getting rid of some stuff,
you can buy it.
You can buy it for really cheap, like books and stuff. Yeah, like a buck or something. And I used to like go and do that kind of shit all the time. But yeah, this is, if you like British crime thrillers or, you know, black comedy type stuff, and you haven't seen this one, I just really kind of feel like you should. I mean, Ben Kingsley's performance alone is, like, worth the price of admission, because he's a fucking lunatic.
It's a good gangster
but
movie.
Everybody in it is good. And like I said, it's good because it's not, like, an average gangster movie where it's focused on, like, they do the heist, but the heist is, like, just kind of, like, yeah, it goes fine and everything like that. That's not really the main focus of the movie. It's more like a character kind of
study.
It's
just a relationship between all these gangsters.
Yeah, so, you know.
That they're all fucked up.
So I don't actually know. So we watched this on DVD, so I'm not actually sure where this is streaming, but it's absolutely worth watching. So watching that last night made me want to watch more British movies. So I told Tom, I was like, maybe tonight we can watch, finally, 24-Hour Party People.
Good.
Because I've been wanting, because I have that, and I've been wanting to, like, rewatch it and do a review on it for a long time, and you've never seen it. And you probably dig it, because, like I said, it's about Joy Division and all that kind of stuff, about the Manchester music scene back then. All right. So, and it's also funny. It's like a black comedy. All
right, we'll see it.
So you'd probably enjoy it. So then we're going to watch that. Oh, and you know what's funny? After we watched Sexy Beast last night, we decided, Tom was like, let's watch The Shining again. And I was like, okay.
Shining was great.
So. I never, ever get tired of watching The Shining. I could watch it again tonight.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
Well, I want to see...
Well, every time I see it, I, like, see something new in it. You know, it's one of those things.
I like the Blu-ray director's cut of Dr. Sleep, which is the part two of The Shining. It's good. Much better than the theatrical release. The theatrical release had so much cut out of it. It just...
Which I get, because they're kind of like, well, nobody wants to sit there and, you know, because it's, I think the uncut one's, what, like 3 hours long or something
like
that.
Yeah, if you guys want, if you like The Shining, see the director's cut of fucking Dr. Sleep.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I liked the movie of Dr. Sleep better than the book.
Okay. I didn't read the books, I don't know.
I did. The book's okay, but I don't know, there was something about the book that I didn't love. And, you know, I thought the movie was actually quite a bit better, which isn't usually the case. And especially with Stephen King stuff, usually his books are better.
I wouldn't mind seeing the TV miniseries of The Shining. You didn't like it, but I liked it.
Yeah, something about that really pissed me off. I wrote, like, a big long screed about it, like, a while back, just because...
I liked it. It was just like the book, pretty much. It was just like the book.
That's why I didn't like it.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't...
It was too literal.
Yeah, well, it doesn't make a good movie.
No.
It doesn't even really make a very good movie, a miniseries. But it is a way of, like, remembering what the book was.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty close to the book. That's, you know, the book is always a little bit better.
I've always said...
But it reads a lot better than fucking when you're seeing it.
That's what I'm saying. Book and movie are two different things, and the same thing doesn't work in it. If you're going to make it just like the book, then just read the fucking book.
A subscriber sent us a... A remastered version of the TV miniseries, The Stand. And it looks really good.
It does, yeah.
It looks really good. Yeah, we enjoyed watching that again. They had a free version that came off of VHS on YouTube. Boy, it looked like shit. I was like, man, I can't remember this thing looking that bad. but the DVDs are real good.
See,
it might
like,
even be Blu-ray.
I mean, I like that they're remastering everything good, nowadays, yeah. So it looks like it's actually supposed to look.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, tonight we're probably going to watch 24-Hour Party People, so that's what we will be talking about tomorrow. So thanks everybody for dropping by on this Sunday. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we will see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.